Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the special edition of the Voicings Fire Internet American Soccer Show. The MLS Cup playoffs are already underway. This is the wild card review show. As the last two games were already played on Wednesday, the Seattle Sounders defeated the Colorado Rapids at CenturyLink Field by a final of 2-0. The Thursday night, the Halloween special, the Houston Dynamo hosting the Montreal Impact at BBVA Compass Stadium, and the Houston Dynamo defeating the Montreal Impact by a final of 3-0. Could have been more, but it's just one of those things where the fines and the suspensions are coming in fast and furious down in Houston, Texas. And we're getting some word right now, and this is all from several bloggers on Twitter talking about the fines and suspensions and everything that's been going on here. And here is what we've learned right now. It sounds like Marco Davao, besides his one-game suspension that he's probably going to serve at the start of the 2014 season for Montreal, his red card suspension, he's getting an additional 2 games, and he's fined an extra $1,000. So he will miss altogether 3 games at the start of the 2014 season for Montreal. Andreas Romero, also of Montreal, is also suspended 2 more games and fined $250. He'll also miss the first 3 games of the 2014 season. Dominic Kinnear, he'll be suspended 1 game for leaving his technical area and entering the field of play in the 89th minute last night on Halloween night. So he will not be on the sidelines, nor will he be in his technical area, nor will he be in the locker room for the first leg of the playoffs against the New York Red Bulls. We'll see how Houston will react to that when we also talk with my good friend Warren Jones down in Houston later on the show. And number four, the fourth thing was, after repeated mass confrontation violations in 2013, the Impact organization is fined $25,000, and Marco Schellenbaum is also fined $2,500 as well. Dynamo are also fined $5,000 as an organization for violating the mass confrontation policy. So with what happened last night down in Houston, so many opportunities, and of course, once again, this is from Dan Countermash, who is the MLS communications head, informing us about the fines and the suspensions and the disciplines that both Houston and Montreal are going to get or they have received. It's just one of those things that you can't really have anymore in the game. And, you know, give Major League Soccer credit for handing down the fines and suspensions that should never have happened in the first place. And the thing is, and we have to admit it, though, it's this. Corey Ash was way over-pumped, pumped to play against Montreal to try and get into the conference semifinals, the MLS Cup quarterfinals. And that's a situation where I understand why Kinnear left his technical area and went on the field. He's trying to calm down Corey Ash because how many times did he explode over the smallest of things? I know he doesn't like to get touched by an opponent. He did not want to be touched by Marco Davao. Davao pushed his button, so to speak, but he kind of allowed that to happen, to be honest. And Corey, you know, is it the right thing to do? If you're probably a Dynamo supporter, you would say, no, that's not the right thing, and Dom should not be punished for trying to calm down Corey Ash, but rules are rules, regulations are regulations, and unfortunately for the Dynamo, they will not have Dominic Kinnear on the sidelines or in the technical area to manage the Houston Dynamo. So basically, you would have to blame Corey Ash for that one. And at the same time, it's one of those things where you got to have cooler heads prevail. I understand it's the playoffs, and I understand that Montreal did not have a great finish. Houston had a decent finish, but not all the way. But still have these explosions of emotions ruin, which was a great night for the Houston Dynamo. But at the same time, in Seattle, it was a great night for the Sounders. Brad Evans, once again, does it for the Sounders. And you have to say Brad Evans is a playoff guy. He's a playoff guy. He is aware of what he needs to do, and he took his opportunity well, and he converted that first chance or that first true chance for Seattle, and he made it 1-0. Solid defense from Seattle. But I have to say Gsperning looked a little unsettled in net. And to see him handle that ball later on in the match, grabbing it 2 yards outside his area, you got to know where you are. Was it accidental? Of course it was. Did he mean to do it? No, he did not. But you're responsible as a goalkeeper to know where you are within the area that you're defending as a keeper, and at the same time, where you are trying to catch the ball. The classic mistake was Jimmy Nielsen. Of course, we remember last year in a regular season match where he handled the ball 10 yards outside his area, and he totally forgot, and he knew he forgot. He tried to, apologize for it and begged for a yellow, but was sent off. And even though Gsperning was sent off, that's a situation where it's not really clear-cut. Maybe if FIFA would, take a look at the laws of the game and maybe say for a keeper, if it looked accidental, then we'll give you a yellow card. But as it was accidental, by the laws of the game, it's deemed red and suspended for a game. So Gsperning will miss the first leg over at CenturyLink Field as the Portland Timbers will come in. And at the same time, for Dominic Kinnear, leaving his technical area and getting onto the field of play to try to calm down Corey Ash, he'll be suspended for the first leg against the New York Red Bulls. So this is the situation that both Seattle and Houston have to face in their respective conferences in the playoffs. If those are saying maybe it should be a yellow card for what Gsperning did, I would agree, because sometimes I'd like to think the laws of the game, not saying they must be rewritten, but at least you would say maybe an amendment to the laws of the game to say if the keeper, this was an accident, this was not intentional, maybe it could be a yellow, you never know, but that's another one to discuss at a later time probably when we talk about the laws of the game, and hopefully maybe we'll try and get Mr. Peter Walton on to discuss the situations if we can. But let me say this. We've had some great playoff games. Colorado, they had their opportunity to try to equalize, and they couldn't do it. Eddie Johnson with a coup de grace to make it 2-0 Seattle. It was a great match there at CenturyLink Field to see what I think is going to be a hell of a playoff series. And I'm not just saying this for the hell of it. I'm just saying this because, look, a derby match is a derby match. Rivalry match is a rivalry match. Portland versus Seattle, blood will be shed. There, or as a good person over in Georgia once told me, there will be blood. You watch. Right, we're going to really see the best of this rivalry come out in MLS on the western side of the playoff bracket. I truly believe we're going to have ourselves a pretty damn good series between Seattle and Portland. And let me just say this. If it does go to penalties, I will not be disappointed. If this goes into extra time and then into penalties, I will not be disappointed at all, because I think we're going to have ourselves a great, great playoff atmosphere at both CenturyLink Field and Jeld-Wen Stadium, Jeld-Wen Field in both Seattle and Portland, respectively, I should say, because this is going to be fantastic. I know it is. Houston versus the Red Bulls, Dynamo versus New York. I've already heard the chirping from Houston. Oh, yes, I've heard the chirping already. They want revenge for the loss in 2008 when Houston was in the Western Conference. And you know what? I don't chirp when it's playoff time, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know in a playoff situation what's going to happen. But I will say this. I think it's going to be a fun series too. Not because it's the Red Bulls and they're still on their supporters' shield victory high. I truly believe this is going to be another great playoff series in Major League Soccer. So we have both sets of playoffs ready on both sides of the country. We got Kansas City taking on New England, the Red Bulls taking on the Dynamo. We've got the Galaxy and Real Salt Lake. We've got Portland versus Seattle. How much more salivating can you produce from your mouths? How much more is going to drip off the side of your mouth and roll down your chin? Because I believe we got ourselves some great playoff matchups. And we're only going to find out what happens when we get to Saturday afternoon, December the 7th, the day after we find out which group the United States will be drawn in and who will be their opponents in that group for 2014 Brazil. And let me let you guys know about this. I will be having a post-World Cup group draw review show on Friday, December the 6th. Try to get some people that are familiar, that you're probably familiar with, from their different areas of the world, including from within the United States. Either I'll be home for this in the studio, or I could be on location. We will find out, and you will find out, where I will be. And you and I will find out who the USA will be drawn with whom in whichever group they're going to be in. But right now, part one of the MLS Cup playoffs are done. We are reviewing the wild card matches, the one and dones, as the 2013 MLS Cup playoffs will continue on this weekend. First legs of the MLS Cup quarterfinals will be ready to go and raring on NBC Sports Network, NBC National, and of course ESPN, Unimas, and Univision Deportes. And tonight's show, I'm going to have on those people that saw their sides advance into the conference semifinals, the MLS Cup quarterfinals. Of course, Warren Jones will be joining me around 8:30 Eastern. But joining me very soon, over in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, will be from Sounder at Heart, Mr. Dave Clark, as he will be joining me discussing this big, big victory for the Sounders and moving on to face those deadly rivals in the Portland Timbers. You would probably say it's a matchup made in heaven because, or maybe it's a match made in hell. You never know. But one thing is for sure is that both these sides are raring to go. Going to be a lot of fun, in my opinion. And
hey,
joining us now,
you?
Of course, Dave Clark, Sounder at Heart. Dave, this was probably a most clinical playoff match the Sounders have played in. Not to say that the ones in the past have been terrible or bad, but to see them doing well and, you know, riding the ship, that was a great victory for the Sounders against the Rapids.
Yeah, it, you know, what was very impressive, the first half they played extraordinarily well. They still have problems finishing. I think Lamar Nagel probably could have had a first-half hat trick if things had gone his way. You know, we say that about a lot of games, but it happened to be true. He had some great looks on goal and just didn't do it. But they still, they let 1-0 at the half. They looked dominant. They softened up a little bit in the second half, decided to make things interesting by, you know, getting the keeper red card, and then managed to, you know, just finish off the Rapids in a way that kind of just sort of noticed that this is a different Sounders team. They're not going to just scrape by, going to dominate.
Well, let me just say this. You know, that second goal by Eddie Johnson, that's a clinical finish. I mean, it was swift, hard, short side, sneaks inside the near post. That was a fantastic finish from Eddie Johnson, and it looks like he's starting to get everything back like since the qualifier against Mexico where he kind of landed hard on the back of his head. That was a clinical finish, and we're seeing Eddie Johnson coming back being what he is.
Well, I don't want to overlook what he did to set it up because that's the type of flash and flair that Eddie really enjoys. When he can use moves to nutmeg a defender to get himself in on goal by on his own, that's stuff Eddie Johnson loves. And while he's been really good at heading the ball, whether on a cross and run a play or on a set piece, Eddie likes flair. He likes to be dramatic. That was the type of goal that Eddie Johnson enjoyed. There's, you know, the fact that he just kind of fell over and I don't want to say cried because I don't know if tears came out, but, you know, the relief and the jubilation that came out from that goal, it was clear that one meant more to him than most.
Yeah, definitely did. Let me ask about Michael Gishperny because obviously, you know, it's very obvious. He was 2 yards outside his technical area and he did grab the ball there. And even though it is a red card offense and a bit of a, I'll say it, it was a bit of a brain fart, but what are you going to do? Still, though, do you think maybe we should take a look at the laws of the game for keepers to say if it was an accident, maybe we should try and say more of a yellow, or maybe that's more of a referee discretion, or do you think that was, I guess that's the proper card, I don't know. But what will you think about that situation? Because he really should have known where he was on the field.
Yeah, it was clearly a stupid move. And I don't think, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think that his unintentional, you know, his losing track of where he was should have any bearing on whether or not it's a card. Just like the Colorado player who had their hand literally 3 feet from their body to slap the ball down in the penalty area. That was mm-hmm. ignored because it supposedly wasn't intentional. But it wasn't in a natural position, and so it should have been a red card because it denied a goal. It was in the penalty area. Seattle should have been up 2-0 at that point. You know, so I'm not worried about intent. What I'm more worried about is, per the laws of the game, that Gishperny there should not have been a red card. It should have only been a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the referee thinks that if he didn't grab it, it was going to be a goal, which is hard to say because it was above his head and about to hit it. So, you know, maybe the ref had an angle where he thought that it was going to go over and bounce into the net. That's possible. If that's what the referee thought, then it's a red. But there's nothing in the laws of the game that say if a keeper leaves his box and uses his hands, it's an automatic red. Keepers don't have different rules from outfielders on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very, very true. I do have to ask you this question, though. I mean, how mind-numbing, or maybe you felt sick in your stomach that the Sounders, and they did make the playoffs, we're not taking that away from them, but this seven-match winless streak, I mean, you probably were thinking to yourself, what the heck is going on here? How is it that you're getting all these draws and then all of a sudden the losses start piling up? And even though you got that draw with the Galaxy on the last day of the regular season, I mean, what was the feeling in Seattle? Because I was shocked that they went on the seven-match winless streak, and then, of course, you right the ship this past Wednesday.
You know, Seattle needed that. Even if they'd gone into the playoffs on a hot streak, the playoff performances have been a bit lacking. They've won a couple legs, but only one series in the MLS playoffs. So people were going to be nervous going into the playoffs regardless. So getting that win is important for that. And at least with my audience, they know fairly well that the only thing that matters about the regular season is a little bit of seeding, and that not so much. Once the regular season's over, the slate's nearly clean. And it's just about what you do in the next five or six games. Seattle looks like, based off of our whole sample size of a single game, they look as good as any right now, and they're performing like the type of team that could go on a run.
You're absolutely right. I definitely agree with you there. Now, for those of us that are not from the Pacific Northwest, I think many people in Seattle, and I'm going to take a stab at it, that many in Portland were waiting for this moment to happen. This rivalry that started long time ago in the original North American Soccer League, reborn in the lower levels of the United Soccer Leagues, now in Major League Soccer, this is probably going to be the big clash of titans in the Pacific Northwest between the Timbers and the Sounders. Tell us why we could see not just tons of goals, but probably tons of action, and we could see punches thrown.
I mean, it gets into the crowd, or the crowd gets into the players here. The games between Portland and Seattle, even this year when Portland was a pretty dynamic team that, you know, liked to play the ball quick and fast on the ground, when Seattle had the talent to be that but couldn't figure out how to utilize it, the games between Portland and Seattle were kind of sluggish, really chunky, lots of harsh fouls and, you know, needless balls in the air. You know, not the directed long ball or aerial pass, but just, you know, stuff that was popped up, like a bad ping pong player or something. It gets into them. They don't play like they normally play. So this is going to be a lot more about spirit and effort and all those things that I personally hate to think about, because one should hope that your professional athletes have spirit and effort and all that mental awareness for a normal playoff match. But it is going to change how the games play. Portland versus Salt Lake plays very differently than Portland versus Seattle. And Salt Lake versus L.A. should probably be very exciting for, you know, on the quality of soccer. The quality of soccer between Portland and Seattle probably won't be great, even though they're two great teams and Seattle's diamond is playing well. But the atmosphere, the intent, the 180 to 210 minutes of passing in the stands, that's going to be unmatched. Unmatched in the United States and as good as anything you'll see.
What is the matchup, obviously, because you've seen it all before in the USL, like I said, also in MLS. What is going to be the big matchup between these two sides that probably Seattle needs to be aware of, maybe even what Portland needs to be aware of? What is going to be the big-time thing here between these two sides that maybe Seattle gets that home leg victory?
One of the things to watch will be that central midfield. Almost like, you know, the compact area with Seattle playing a diamond with Moffitt, Evans, and Alonso in tight compact spaces. Probably Zach Scott and Leo Gonzalez as the fullback. Seattle's going to be stout defensively. A lot of those guys are willing to go in hard. How they win those balls and what they do with them with those second balls and recoveries is going to be important. They're going to have to transition quickly to Clint Dempsey, hope to get at least one of Chara and Will Johnson out of position to push it quickly, since Portland pushes their fullbacks up, get wide quickly and get it back in to the mix where Eddie Johnson should be, or Dempsey. You know, if they can do that kind of win it, quick transitions, Seattle still plays this game at the fastest pace at the MLS level of any team. If they can do that and play their game while stifling Portland's efforts to go through the midfield, it should be the type of game that Seattle wins.
How's the feeling right now in Seattle at the moment? Obviously, they were happy that they won 2-0 against Colorado, but now that Portland is coming, is there any form of anxiety? I wouldn't think so, but just out of curiosity, is there any anxiety around the city, excitement, you know, let's get it on, let's get going? What's the feeling in Seattle right now?
The supporters stand started chanting the anti-Portland chant as soon as the game was over on Sunday. It was immediate, or Wednesday. Whatever day it was. I've forgotten. It's all blurred together.
That's okay.
So many so quickly.
That's okay.
You know, we ended the season at home, then played at home, then played at home. And, you know, some of that might just be great for the team because they don't have to think about anything. They just sit comfortably large, crowds, and that should be good for them. But the fan base, you know, the supporters, they were into the Portland rivalry as soon as it became reality. And it's leaking its way into the mainstream media. Normally the Portland game, maybe the LA games are the ones that get picked up by the mainstreamers out here. So the press box is going to be full of people who are, you know, three-time-a-year soccer journalists. It's going to be part of things. Personally, it's hard for me. Just because I hate all the overblown, extraneous, you know, calling them port scum and the cinders and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I like to be a little bit more original. I don't actually hate the city. It's actually kind of a decent city to live in. So I'd be happy to see them fail.
Of course.
So I look forward to that.
Of course. Why not? You know, just like me, New York versus Boston, New York versus Philadelphia. I want to see either side go down, obviously. But definitely, I love the cities. I love Boston as a city. I love Philadelphia as a city. But there's just something about their sports teams. You just want them to fail miserably. Dave, thank you so much for joining me. Good luck in the Western Conference semifinal series against Portland Timbers, and hope to have you back on to discuss it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for the call, and I'll talk to you after victories.
Talk to you after victories. That's Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart, following the Seattle Sounders, their victory over the Colorado Rapids by final of 2-0. They will be hosting the first leg at CenturyLink Field this Saturday, I believe. I have to double-check the schedule there, but obviously you just have to say that this was just an unbelievable finish for these wild card games. As we move on forward here and go to the eastern side of playoffs. And once again, everybody, we all know what happened down at BBVA Compass Stadium as the Houston Dynamo, they come back, they win the match by a final of 3-0. Let's be fair. I think the Montreal Impact ran out of gas and the Dynamo took advantage of it. But the Dynamo will be missing their head coach for the first leg hosting the New York Red Bulls at BBVA Compass Stadium. And joining me now down from Houston is my good friend Warren Jones, who was very sad that the Dynamo were out of the CONCACAF Champions League, but then all of a sudden, they beat the Impact at home, and I get a strange text message. Somebody wants something.
Yeah.
Back in 2008, Warrick. What
hey,
is it?
Well, we got a score to settle. We have a postseason score to settle. Let's put it that way. What a difference a few days makes. I don't back off of my comments from back on when we discussed the Champions League. I mean, you know well my feelings about how well or poorly we played. I honestly didn't expect us to. I knew the odds were in our favor to still make the playoffs, even though we didn't make it easy on ourselves. Losing to your boys and then having not being able to control our own destiny. But to be fair, of the there were three matches that the Dynamo needed a draw or a loss in, and I figured in one of those matches somebody's got to slip on the banana peel, and sure enough that may, you know, with the Dynamo win, of course, that cleared their way to the playoffs. And they got Montreal in the first leg, which was sort of fortunate. They were banged up. They came to our crib and they went with some players and probably a formation that was a little out of sync for them. They didn't play well. We earlier in the season had difficulty with Montreal, so I just think it was probably a timing thing for them. I think they were hitting their stride earlier in the season and just probably, you know, time, injuries, and a little bit of poor form conspired against them. But we kind of gathered ourselves, picked ourselves up, probably used the CONCACAF bounce to our advantage, and came out and played well. We still had some technical issues that I think need to be ironed out, but I'm certainly not going to complain about a 3-0 scoreline, and certainly not a push to the next level of the playoffs.
Absolutely, great goal from Will Bruin in the 16th minute, put the Dynamo up ahead 1-0, and I think I definitely will agree with you. That was the turning point of the game, to see the Dynamo acting like themselves and to see them dominate this match both offensively and defensively. Montreal, I guess you're going to have to agree. I'm going to agree with you saying, like, I think Montreal just did not look good. Montreal just looked like the shell of themselves. I mean, they had a great start to the season, and now
they've completely
just fell apart. And just to see them bothering Corey Ash. And I'm a little disappointed in Corey Ash, to be honest with you, because he should have done better with his emotions. Because I bet you they intentionally took advantage of Corey's emotions that game. And, you know, he's got to understand, you can't be throwing, you know, your arms around. You can't be going headbutt to headbutt with Marco DeVaio, because I know he's small in stature and big in heart, but, you know, he allowed them. No, but the truth is this, that he allowed Montreal to get to him, and it was too easy. And he's lucky he only got booked in the 89th minute, where he could have been suspended for the first leg as well.
You know, I will agree with that to some degree, but I'll defend him to the extent that, and I know this just from people that were at the game that were sitting very close to where the incident happened towards the end, towards the corner flag. I think it was Romero who kicked the, after the play was, you know, after the foul's called, ball is dead, and Kofi Sarkodie was on the ground on his stomach, and the ball was kind of, if you can imagine, was kind of between his knees, and that's a very cynical and a pretty vicious kick at the ball after the whistle blows. I think Sarkodie was warranted in reacting the way he did. I think DeVaio coming on and kind of getting in, it's kind of like the hockey rule, I think, that needs to be instituted here. DeVaio had no third man in recourse here. I mean, so when he enters into the conflict, which at that point I think the ref had you know, the linesman had gotten in between Sarcote and Romero. I think it was pretty much, I mean, Sarcote was mad, Romero was walking the other way. It was a done deal. It wasn't until DeVayo came in and probably through frustration throughout the entire game, and you know, their season's coming to an end, he decided to go out in a blaze of glory. I think in the end, I don't think either club was served well at the very end, but certainly not Montreal. I mean, at the end of the day, they got, you know, they ended up with three guys tossed out of the match, and that doesn't, you know, that doesn't make you as a player look good. It doesn't make your club look good. It doesn't make your coach look good. It makes you, you know, it gives the rest of the league a poor, you know, that's not the kind of way you want to go out. You want to go out a little more honorably, and to some degree, I can't say that I blame Corey Ash for not his initial reaction, but what happened though is, if you saw on the replay, DeVayo actually touches Corey Ash's face, and what he tried to do, he wasn't slapping him or punching him. He was trying to scratch his face. Which,
yeah,
to me,
I mean,
that's
one.
Despicable. That's just, you know, that's like spitting on a player to me. In fact, it's even worse. And he not only did it once, he did it twice. And that's what Corey Ash was exploding about. But to your point, I do think Corey Ash, by the way he reacted, I mean, if that's me and somebody's trying to scratch my face, I'm pretty pissed off, and I'm probably mad too. But you can't, at this point in the season as a professional, let things like that get to you. This is a team that's going out. They're going home. They're packing their bags. You've got a mission ahead of you, and you're a critical, you know, cog in the wheel. And you can't let them get to you, like you said, you can't let them get under your skin and cost you a red card or a suspension and to where you miss the next game, because that could be your season. So I'm sure Dominic Kinnear pulled him aside afterwards and settled him down and said, look, pal, you know, it doesn't matter that they got the red card in the 89th minute. It would have mattered greatly to us if we would have gotten a red card in the 89th minute. So, I thought it was a poor way for Montreal to go out after having, you know, for the most part, a pretty impressive season, other than the fact they've kind of slid towards the end of the year. But, you know, I remember at one point in this season, not too long ago, everybody was high on Montreal as being they were going to be the team that was going to play, that was going to challenge for MLS Cup. I mean, they were right there. And how the wheels came off, you know, who knows? But, you know, I'm sure they'll gather their selves together and come back next year strong. And they've got a good side. And I think, like I said, I think we just caught them on the wrong day. They had some injuries, and on another day, they probably would have been more competitive, and who's to say they could have been playing your boys instead of us? But
yeah, I know exactly.
thankfully, you know, we had home field advantage, which is an advantage for us, and we put it to good use. I think it was the crowd was a little sparse considering it was a Halloween night, though. I'm willing to look beyond that.
Houston needs to be warned. They don't want to make Warren upset now with the sparse crowds and stuff. But actually, Warren, I was actually talking about earlier in the first half, because Ash and DeVayo clashed heads, and that's what I was talking about. You are
correct, though.
What DeVayo,
you're right.
What DeVayo did towards the end of the match in the second half, you're absolutely right. DeVayo, what he did was wrong. He either missed scratching Corey's face or smacking him in the face. That's a no-no, and I agree with you. But in the first half, I didn't like what Corey was doing. And out of all of this, Dom gets suspended for the first leg at home on Sunday because he left his technical area, went on the field. I know he tried to calm down Corey, but still, though, it's a no-no, and he won't be on in his technical area for the first leg. Do you think that might be a little bit of a disadvantage? right now because Dom will not be in this technical area at home?
You know, I'm of the mind that you know, this, I'm going to sound a little dismissive here probably, and you know how big a Dominic Kinnear fan I am.
Yes,
but I think honestly in football, I think when you're in the match, I think the gaffer being on the sideline is really I think it's less of an issue. Not that you don't make, you know, in-game tactical decisions and changes. I think that does happen, but I think most people will agree, or most footballers will agree, that your preparation is done in training the week before that match. And if you go into that match and you're not prepared mentally and physically, I liken a gaffer in football to a manager in baseball, quite frankly. I think they can win some games for you, but I do think tactically it can be in the game. I think tactically it can be overrated a little. So I think Dominic Kinnear does his best work in the preparation before the game. I think in the game he will make whatever adjustments he needs to make, but by and large, I think he can hand that job off to any of his capable assistants, which would be Wade Barrett or Steve Ralston, and I think they've had a little experience in this league, certainly also in the playoffs, all the way, and they've won some cups along the way, so I think he's leaving it in capable hands. Will they miss him? Yeah, I think they'll probably miss that Dominic Kinnear fighting spirit, but the players may use that to their advantage. You know, they may actually come out and say, you know, we don't really agree with why our gaffer got bumped out of this game, and so we're going to go out and we're going to win one for the Gipper, and maybe that dials them up a notch. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see, though. But I do think that manager's job in game sometimes can be a little overrated in football, and that's just my personal opinion. It's you know, having played football for years and having having listened to coaches during the game or not listened to them during the game, I think that you know, I don't know that his influence will be missed that much, because he'll hand off he'll hand off anything that he needs to hand off to the guys, to the subs behind him.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see here. 2008, you still owe me beer.
Yep.
2013, you might owe me some deli. I know that the New York consulate that's down there in Houston, that big Kenny and Ziggy's, the New York deli restaurant.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Katz's Deli is 10 times better and much less expensive than Kenny and Ziggy's.
True.
So.
True.
And it's
not far away from me either. I can just go down there whenever I want. But, you know, I've seen the guy on Food Network, on Divers, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah.
There's a nice little YouTube clip.
It's definitely a good little place. In fact, my office is about an 8-iron from Kenny and Ziggy's. And if you're ever in town, it's my treat. We'll definitely go there. It's I'm literally not too far at all. But if what you're trying to do is place a friendly wager here, Daniel, then you're gonna have to point me to some barbecue or something in New York that's worth eating, that's not doused in ketchup and vinegar or something. I haven't found a decent Texas barbecue in New York. But maybe I haven't looked hard enough. Maybe you could show me elsewhere.
Well, you know, if there's gonna be a Texas barbecue, I'll make sure that the people that cook it are from Texas. That's what I'm going to do. No, I'm just saying, you know, the beer is now just the interest. You're still owing me the original bet from 2008.
Yeah, I got the VIG.
That's why I'm filing it
all for
the deli.
Yeah, I got the VIG. The VIG is going now. So the beer is the principal now. Now I'm working on the VIG.
I know.
Well, I tell you what, if whoever goes through, I tell you what, if the Dynamo go through, we'll run it back to even, and if Red Bull goes through, then you know I'll make it two beers. How's that sound?
There we go. That's what I love about you, Warren. You're just a great guy.
I'll bring some fine Texas Lone Star up to your state. How's that sound?
That's fantastic, my friend. I will take that
any
day.
You know what? I tell you what, Daniel. I won't even stop at two. I'll bring a whole six pack. What do you think?
There we go. That's it. That's what I love about you, Warren. They're fantastic. You just make sure the wife doesn't hit you.
never let it be said. I'm a giver. You know,
yes, you are.
I give until I can't give anymore, Daniel.
There you go. Absolutely. That's what I love about you, Warren. You're an honest guy, and I love you for it.
Double or nothing.
Double or nothing. Here we go. You heard it. You can't erase it. It's on the archive. This thing is over. It's over. Thanks a lot, Warren. I'll talk to you. Definitely love to have you on when we review both legs. So I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sounds good. Cheers, Daniel.
Cheers, Warren. That's my good friend Warren Jones down in Houston. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Double or nothing. It's on Warren Jones, the freaking tourist that he is. I'll tell you that much. This is going to be awesome. You're not going to live. He won't live this down. I'll just probably keep on going. But at least when I'll admit defeat, I admit defeat. But we'll see what happens here. The Supporters Shield champion, New York Red Bulls, taking on the Houston Dynamo. Let's give you the full conference semifinal schedule or the MLS Cup quarterfinal schedule here on Major League Soccer's website as we take a look at what's going to happen. First leg action on Saturday, November the 2nd, and Sunday, November the 3rd. First, on Saturday, November the 2nd, the New England Revolution will be hosting Sporting Kansas City at 8 o'clock Eastern at Gillette Stadium. You can watch that locally in New England, Comcast Sportsnet New England, or KSMO in Kansas City, Kansas, as well as Kansas City, Missouri, and either one of those matches, you will still see it live on NBC Sports Network, and then following that on NBC Sports Network Live, Seattle Sounders hosting the Portland Timbers at CenturyLink Field, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific. Check your local listings for the channel where you have NBC Sports Network. Sunday, November the 3rd, live on NBC National, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Central. The Houston Dynamo will be hosting the New York Red Bulls in the first leg at BBVA Compass Stadium. Once again, Dominic Kinnear suspended for the first leg against the New York Red Bulls at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific at the StubHub Center on ESPN and on ESPN Deportes. The Los Angeles Galaxy will take on Real Salt Lake. And on Wednesday, November the 6th, second leg action, as well as Thursday, November the 7th. Wednesday, November the 6th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. The second leg against between the New York Red Bulls and the Houston Dynamo will be at Red Bull Arena. The match will be on nationally televised on Spanish language station Univision Deportes, locally on Comcast Sportsnet Houston, and on Madison Square Garden Network in New York. Also on Wednesday, locally, Comcast Sportsnet New England, The Alternative, as well as KSMO locally in Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, at Sporting Park. Sporting Kansas City will take on the New England Revolution. That'll be at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. On Thursday, November the 7th, the other second leg matches going on. All Western Conference, Real Salt Lake hosting Los Angeles Galaxy at Rio Tinto Stadium, 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Mountain, live on ESPN2. And then at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific, the Portland Timbers will host the Seattle Sounders at Gerald Wendt Field. And that will also be on the NBC Sports Network as well as the Univision Deportes. So exciting stuff happening in MLS. Obviously, the winner of the New York-Houston match will face Sporting either – excuse me. The winners of the New York-Houston match will face the winners of the Sporting Kansas City-New England match. And then, of course, in the Western bracket, the winners of Real Salt Lake-LA Galaxy will take on either Portland or Seattle. And then we will await to find out when the first leg of the MLS Cup semifinals are, as well as the, well, as I say, the MLS Conference Finals. They're saying the first leg will be on Saturday, November the 9th, as well as Sunday, November the 10th, for the first leg of the Conference Finals / MLS Cup semifinals first leg. And here's the thing that everyone's talking about. And I have to chime in because, as everyone knows, Friday, November the 15th and Tuesday, November the 19th, it is deemed the international dates for the playoffs for Europe, the second leg for Africa in World Cup qualifying, as well as the intercontinental playoffs, the international playoffs, Mexico versus New Zealand, and Uruguay versus Jordan. Throughout this 2013 season, we have seen Major League Soccer playing regular season games during the international break, when they were supposed to be respecting the calendar. They stopped respecting the calendar. And if you think about it, these games, and I understand how important playoff games are, but to all of a sudden respect the international calendar out of the blue, you have an opportunity to have your playoffs, let's be honest, on days where basically no one's playing except for maybe one or two African playoffs. Couldn't we have these quarterfinal second leg matches on the dates of, let's just say, the 9th and the 10th of November, instead of having three within 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days? I can understand the wild card games on that, on this past Wednesday and Thursday, and then you have the first legs on this coming weekend on the 2nd and 3rd. But why can we have the second legs, and why are we all of a sudden respecting the international calendar? Why can we have the second legs of these quarterfinals / conference semifinals on the next weekend? I think it would have been better. Yes, I know it makes more sense, because you're going to have a week of games, and this is nothing against the national team, but let's be honest, these are glorified friendlies. The USA will be in Scotland on Friday, November 15th, and that will be seen on ESPN2 at Hampden Park. And then on Tuesday, November 19th, the USA will be in Austria, in Vienna, and that will be seen on NBC Sports Network, 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. See, I feel Major League Soccer has done themselves a disservice. They did it to themselves. They've got no one to blame but themselves. I think this is a bad idea. Major League Soccer should just make all weekend dates playoff dates. You didn't respect the regulation qualifiers in 2013 in CONCACAF. So why should we start respecting the qualifiers in November when the USA basically has already qualified for the World Cup? And why are we respecting the international calendar now? And that's all I'm saying, to be honest. Because Major League Soccer, I agree with what you're doing towards the end of the month. You give them 1 week rest, and then you get ready for the MLS Cup on the 7th of December, that Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. Because that's the right thing. But once again, I just believe that this is the wrong way to go. You're forcing everything down everyone's throat quickly, and then all of a sudden you get a break, and then you have the big second-leg conference final, second-leg MLS Cup playoff semifinal on that last Saturday in November. I just feel there's something wrong here. And hopefully next year, in 2014, maybe we can, you know, get this straightened out. And hopefully we can get this thing done the right way, because, once again, I love the league. I love our league. I want to see it shine from within. And, yes, it's getting better. Maybe slowly, but it is getting better. And I'm enjoying this, and I'm happy about this. And I want to see this league shine and thrive. I am not a detractor, because I love my league. But those detractors might sharpen their fingers of blame for you. And that's what you would like to avoid. I would like to assume you'd like to avoid that. But once again, this is the situation that's in front of us. And this is why people are asking the questions. I am on your side when it comes to this situation. I will mostly be on your side with this situation and everything else, except for one. But like I said, I will stop with the protesting until something happens. But other than that, I'm excited. Very happy. And I gotta say once again, I cannot wait for this weekend to come over. It's exciting. It's fun. This is the excitement. Yes, it's a second season, but you know what? This is how you win the championship of Major League Soccer. And let's see what happens to these eight sides that will be fighting for that silver cup, either adding on to their current trophy case that's sort of full, or just adding on to the big piece of silverware for the first time. We'll see what happens. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guests for tonight. I want to thank Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart. I also want to thank my good friend Warren Jones down in Houston. He owes me beer again. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this Tuesday as we discuss the first leg of these MLS Cup playoffs. Join me. We'll talk about the brand-new hiring of Frank Yallop over at the Chicago Fire, not just as head coach, but director of soccer, technical director, however you want to call it. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this Tuesday, Feuerstein's Fire Internet Soccer Show. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your football. And let's go for it. The MLS Cup playoffs are here. Let's go and have some fun. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Enjoy your weekend. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Good night. Bye-bye for now.